Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Rain throughout tonight, lows in the 40s, partly sunny skies and temps in the high 40s on Wednesday. It sucks when that's like something you get excited about. 40s. Yay. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Joined by the Post-Gazette's Ray Fittipaldo, who was with me at Mike Tomlin. Did you ever have any desire to do weather, Ray?
No, not really. They're wrong too often. Not that I'm right every time.
I was going to say, I've had those stretches too.
I think we all do.
Yeah. And by the way, a quick aside, Sunday in Chicago right now, partly sunny and 56.
Wow. I'll take that.
I never in my wildest dreams would have thought that. And the wind's only supposed to be 2 miles an hour. As of right now, to your point, Ray, sometimes they're wrong. So we'll kind of see how it plays out. What is your... I really don't have a feel, and I'll start it this way, on whether Aaron's going to play or not. Like, people keep asking me, like, oh, do you think he's just lying? Do you think... I really don't know at this point. How about you? Do you have a feel on whether or not you think Aaron Rodgers is going to play on Sunday?
You know, just my gut from listening to him, Jeff, I get the idea that if he is out there on Friday and he's able to, get a brace that does the job, that yes, he will be out there on Sunday. Don't ask me why I believe that. I just think it's Rodgers being a veteran, being around this league for two decades, that would allow him to do that. I think you know by now there are select veterans who will get that treatment. That if they're out there on Friday, they'll be good to go. And I just think this is a case where that's probably going to hold true. But let's wait to see what happens. If he's not able to get out there, obviously it's going to be Mason Rudolph time. And I thought he did a really good job once again in the second half on Sunday against the Bengals.
To your point there, is there any scenario in Tomlin's mind where he's thinking, Aaron, I know you think you should go, but we want you for the long term. We're going to put Mason in there, even though Aaron feels like he could play.
Yeah, the only thing about that, Jeff, is like, I don't get the sense that this injury can get any worse than it already is. Like, it's not like a hamstring that can go from a grade 3 to a grade 1 or vice versa. I forget which way is good and which way is bad, but you know what I mean? Like, it's going to be a pain tolerance issue for him. And I think this is honestly something he's going to have to deal with for the foreseeable future. You know, if they get a brace on it and they can stabilize it, it's probably going to heal in 4 to 6 weeks. You know, he should be good by the end of the regular season, but I do think there's going to be some discomfort and some pain that's going to be associated with it when he does play. And that's one thing Mike did say today. He kind of indicated that Aaron has already told him he could play with the pain. That's not going to be an issue. So I think that's one less thing they have to worry about. I think the big thing is getting a brace on it, figuring out how it's going to, you know, the mobility there, taking a snap from under center. Those are the types of things I think they have to figure out in the next 2 days before he goes out there on Friday.
Yeah, I actually thought, I mean, I know there are times that, and, you know, sometimes they, he just kind of has to lie, I guess. But I felt like he was pretty forthright with how exactly this thing is going to play out. I think it's, to what you were saying, it's very much how what we're going to see, whether or not he can tolerate that. And he mentioned, you know, the functionality of having a practice for his teammates. But I do think while he's been around long enough in his career, he doesn't need to practice during the week. I do think Friday is going to be a big deal. Is there any doubt to you that it's, I mean, he said that they are going to start the week with Mason. For some reason, there are people, and I guess they're always conspiratory, you know, people with conspiracy theories that, you know, he didn't say maybe Will's going to, there's no chance that it's Will Howard, correct?
There is no chance it's going to be Will Howard, but this does move him up the food chain one position. Like if Aaron cannot go, this would obviously be a huge week for Will, and it already is going to be. You know, Wednesday and Thursday, he's going to be able to get out there, get some second team reps. He hasn't had those since training camp. He's pretty much been running the scout team since he returned from injured reserve. So this is a big week for Will in a lot of ways. You know, if Aaron is down for whatever reason, then yeah, this could be a great opportunity for Will to get in there if something should happen to Mason. But no, we're not going to see Will Howard before Mason on Sunday.
Yeah, people may forget, like, he didn't play a snap in the preseason. I mean, it's bad enough if you start reading guys on preseason games, but if you don't even have that to go on, yeah, that's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
I do love how excitable he is. I don't know if you noticed on the sidelines, but on the Darnell Washington catch and run, he was like one of the guys who was most fired up. So I thought that was funny for a quarterback.
And I do think his teammates like him. Like he seems like a – I think both – let me start with this with Mason. I'll see if you agree with me and feel free to disagree. I think the players were maybe when he first came in to the team, and I know it's a different group, but, you know, with how awkward it was with Ben, like Mason, I wouldn't say he was loved on that team, but I think with the way he's handled the last few years, how he's kind of put his head down, how he'll be out there for extra work for guys if they need it, that there is a respect for Mason Rudolph and I don't know if loyalty is the word, but they kind of gravitate to him and kind of feel like, man, this dude just works. Let's go out and work with this guy.
Absolutely. He is well-liked and he's respected in that locker room for what he does when he's called upon. And I thought the vast majority of that respect, Jeff, came in 2023 where he led them on that final three-game winning streak to get them into the playoffs. And I think the difference now between Mason and Will Howard is well-liked. You could tell he's very affable. He's a really good teammate. But he hasn't had that opportunity to go out there and earn the respect of his teammates. And that is huge for a quarterback. A quarterback has to have that on his resume. You could be the most likable guy in the world, but if you can't go out there and help your team win, then you're not going to be respected. So I think that's right now that's the main difference between those two guys. But I will agree, both seem like they fit in very well within team structure. There's no egos there. I wouldn't expect that when you have a guy like Aaron, you know, in his resume, and then you have a third-round pick to Mason and, you know, obviously a sixth-round rookie in Will. Those guys know their place on the roster. So it's been a pretty good mix so far in terms of, you know, team chemistry and how things are operating in the quarterback room.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Joined by the Post-Gazette Steelers beat reporter Ray Fittipaldo. You know, the Steelers just came off that stretch of, you know, Packers, Colts, Chargers, which was a huge three-game stretch. Well, they got another one now, and they've got questions at quarterback with the Bears, Bills, and then at the Ravens, who are playing maybe the best football in the conference when you look at it over the last four games. How critical do you view this stretch of three?
You know, Jeff, you make a really good point. And I didn't really frame it that way, but they did win two out of three in that tough stretch. And I don't know, this stretch might be just as difficult, if not more difficult, because the Bears are 7-3. And say whatever you want about the schedule, they've beaten the teams that have been in front of them. Then you got the Bills and perhaps the best quarterback in the NFL coming to town. And then you go to Baltimore, a team that has really embarrassed you the last two times that you've been on the field with them. So, this is going to be a defining stretch, I think, for this football team. I think the worst case scenario for the Steelers, you split with the Bears and the Bills, and you go into that game against the Ravens no worse than tied atop the AFC. I think it would be a real kick in the gut if they somehow went in a game down to the Ravens, having to go play in Baltimore after blowing a 3.5 game lead. That would be really tough on the Steelers' psyche. So they got to find a way to split here with Chicago and Buffalo. And if they do, I think, you know, they'll feel pretty good about themselves going into that game against the Ravens in Baltimore in early December.
How do the Steelers get more splash, Ray, offensively?
Yeah, I was going to say, they got plenty on defense. It's almost like, Jeff, the offense and the defense for this team, they're not allowed to play well the same game. It's like it's up and down. It's one unit is playing well and the other has an off game. They got to get back to where they were offensively. I would say the first, you know, seven games of the season, I thought Aaron played really well. It wasn't always pretty, but they were finding ways to win. Really been a struggle. You know, the Colts game was a struggle yardage-wise. You know, they were opportunistic that game, but they didn't really move the ball. Chargers game was their worst game of the season. And then, you know, the Bengals game, you know, if not for those two defensive touchdowns, that would have been a nail-biter in the fourth quarter. And it really was a one-score game in the fourth until they kind of put that away with that touchdown drive from Mason. So, you know, the easy answer is probably DK Metcalf, but I think you and I both know that's probably not going to come just because they don't have, you know, that threatening number two receiver who's going to take the pressure off him. Maybe it's in the form of a Kenneth Gainwell or a Jaylen Warren continuing to do what they do. I thought, you know, the nice thing about that performance against the Bengals is both Aaron and Mason took what was given to them, short passes, and those guys, Jaylen, Kenneth Gainwell, Darnell Washington, they turn short passes into long runs. And if teams are going to play that two deep safety look the way they have been, you're going to need plays like that to move the ball down the field.
Whether it was peewee football, JV, varsity, college, you ever been in a scenario where a dude like Darnell Washington is coming at you and just wreaking havoc?
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. You do see those videos on social media every once in a while where you got that overgrown fifth grader, you know, who goes through puberty early and, you know, he's just bulldozing people out there. That's honestly what it looks like. You probably remember this from back in the day. If you're an old WWF fan, there's that 7'4" Andre the Giant, and then there's like the 5'4" Vince McMahon before steroids. Like that's what it was like. It was like Darnell Washington was Andre the Giant, and he was running over Vince McMahon. That's in an NFL game. It's unheard of. You don't see it very often. It's like throwing the ball to an athletic offensive tackle who has great hands. It's just, he's a unicorn. Enjoy it. And I just, based on, you know, listening to Mike today, I think they're going to lean into that a little bit more. I mean, he kind of said they're discovering him. And I think as long as he continues to produce, I think you'll see Aaron and Mason feeding him even more.
We're joined by the Post-Gazette's Ray Fittipaldo. There was a kid named Jaquay Hubbard from my high school at Sharpsville. It's A at the time when there were four classifications. And he played at West Virginia and at Virginia. And he was like 300 pounds, and he's going around the corner pulling, and there's this like 140-pound linebacker that's standing there. And you just, before it even happened, you almost wanted to turn your head, but you didn't because you knew what was about to happen. It kind of feels that way sometimes. I mean, can you get into a situation where you're just like, all right, forget this number two receiver stuff. Let's just split out these other tight ends, these pass-catching tight ends, and roll with that look.
That is one option, and they haven't been able to get Jonnu Smith untracked really all season. You know, he's made a couple of plays here and there. You know, the game in Cincinnati, Aaron has that great scramble, and he finds him in the end zone. But I can't think, like, of another big play that he's made this year. So
no.
maybe that's something that you try to lean into a little bit here. Down the stretch, you know, I thought it was interesting that the snap distribution between Roman Wilson and Calvin Austin, is that going to continue going forward, or is that going to be game to game depending on who practices well, like the old Mike Tomlin, you know, two dogs, one bone type of thing that he did with AB and Emmanuel Sanders back in the day. So it hasn't been great in terms of them just discovering who that number two option is on the offense. They could go the entire year really without a guy. I was looking at the stats today. Would you think that Pat Freiermuth, given all the talk, would you think Pat Freiermuth would be their second leading receiver?
No.
In terms of yardage? But there he is. And the only reason he is, Jeff, is because of that one big game. 111 of his 279 yards came in one game. And he's the second leading receiver on this football team. That right there shows you where this offense is, or at least where this passing offense is as we speak going into week 12.
Imagine if you're a Bengals fan and you look at the stats of Freiermuth and say, wait, that's all he's got? Like, he hits us for 100 every time.
Yeah.
You know, he really owns it. Were you surprised at all? And we're joined by the Post-Gazette's Ray Fittipaldo by the answer to your question about Darius Slay and whether or not he would start when he returned.
Yeah, I thought it was just interesting. We got one answer about Darius Slay, and we got a little bit less certainty about Cole Holcomb and Malik Harrison. So maybe a little bit more deference to Darius, who's got some Pro Bowls on his resume and obviously has done a lot more in this league. You know, I don't know what answer I was expecting, but given the way that he has praised James Pierre for the last 2 weeks, I thought maybe James, you know, might get the chance to start for one more week, and maybe they would ease Darius back into it. But I guess we shouldn't be surprised. Darius has been a longtime pro in this league, and I think they're going to give him a chance to bounce back from what has been, I think we would all agree, some uneven play here in his first season with the Steelers.
A lot of it, we're talking about the Steelers' problems. I do want to bring up this. I think you've talked about this as well. I did this in a story that we did on our website. You know, it's amazing with the talk of Ramsey and Elliott's extension and Slay. You got guys that weren't even on the roster at the beginning of the year. Guys like Pierre, who had to go back to the practice squad. Duggar, you got in a trade. Eccles, who played 10 snaps in the first game. And these guys are playing some really good minutes for the Steelers right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you just look at the total defense numbers. You know, you could look at two things if you want to evaluate a defense with traditional stats. You could look at the scoring numbers, or you could look at the yardage numbers. And, Jeff, the yardage numbers were terrible when Jalen Ramsey wasn't playing free safety full-time and Kyle Duggar wasn't on the football team. But since Jalen went to free safety and since Kyle Duggar was added and started a strong safety, they've actually been really good in terms of yardage allowed. There's been a big improvement there. So, you know, it's almost like now they're becoming a defense that isn't totally reliant on turnovers. I mean, I think we can all agree, you know, if the offense just did the bare minimum against the Bengals, they would have found a way to win that game against the Bengals even without those two turnovers. It might have been a close game, but they were holding those guys in check and doing a really good job. So obviously they found something there. You know, I think the big buzzword for Mike has been stability. You know, they've stabilized things in the back end, and it's been good for them. And I wouldn't expect them to change now. There's been a lot of talk, well, do you eventually move Jalen Ramsey back to slot on occasions? Do you want to do that? But to me, Jeff, they've been so good with him just being back there playing one role. Why do you want to tinker with it when it's going so well?
Ray, I appreciate the time. You know, there are weeks where it just kind of seems mundane. This is not one of them. This is a lot going on this week for the Steelers and starting this big stretch. I'll see you over on the South Side tomorrow. Thank you for your time.
Should be a fun week. See you down there tomorrow, Jeff.
Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette here on 93.7 The Fan. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. When we continue, let's get some reactions to what Ray had to say, whether it's about the quarterback situation, about maybe splitting out the tight ends. How much fun? Let's look at another positive, not just some of these guys that were depth guys or were added into that secondary. How much fun is it to watch Darnell? I mean, he's got to be on the field for the snaps that he's getting. And can you use these tight ends in other roles? Are they quick enough to be a number two receiver? Like, what can you dial up if you're Arthur Smith to kind of keep the Bears at bay and use your best receivers in that scenario? 412-928-9370. And coming up at 7:40, we're going to talk to a CBS Sports NFL writer, kind of get his feeling just on the Steelers more, in Tomlin's words, globally. What thoughts are there of Aaron Rodgers, the best teams in the AFC? And he talked to Drew Brees about an interesting concept for teams trailing at the end of the game. It's kind of a run on what's been out there, but with the onside kick being so horrible, let's find out what Drew Brees said about what could spice that up a little bit. All that's coming, but next, again, your call is 412-928-9370. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.